Why do so many dogs die before their time? Actress and dog activist Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete by Badlands Ranch is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including premium protein-packed beef, nutrient-dense organ meat, heart-healthy salmon, gut-healthy vegetables, and several superfoods vital to your dog's health. And because high-heat cooking can add unhealthy things to your dog's food, Superfood Complete uses air drying, so it gets cooked low and slow. This means it has the convenience of kibble, but the health benefits of whole foods. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible benefits, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 right now to get up to 50% off your order and a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's badlandsranch.com/save50 today. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary.
You are now listening to the Philly Pod,
a Philadelphia sports podcast.
What's going on, Eagles fans? What's up, Philadelphia? Welcome back to another edition of the Philly Pod. It's a very spooky Halloween episode with the boys leading us to Birds versus Bengals, baby. Let's go. My name is Ryan Conway, joined by the one, the only. He created this, Victor Williams. And, of course, Stephen Conrad Jr., the man himself. We have got a lot to discuss going into this big-time matchup against the Bengals on the road. Victor, please take it away. What's going on?
Hope you guys are ready for another tie, because this is Steven mentioned it last episode. We tied them in 2008. We tied them in 2020. After the 2008 game, McNabb literally said, "I didn't know it was in the rules to have a tie. Like, I've never been a part of a tie before."
That happens every time there's a tie. Someone doesn't know, and it's usually someone important.
The 13-13 game was like during the Wentz downfall year, and it was just an ugly game. And wasn't that the game where, like, Doug Peterson, I think, punted it with like 30 seconds left and basically admitted to the entire league, like, "We know we're not good enough to win. We'll take the tie. So that's how that went. So let's hope we don't have a repeat of any of that this weekend. But yes, another episode of Philly Pod is here to preview the Eagles versus Bengals Week 8 matchup that was originally supposed to be a night game. And we got no, it was supposed to be a 4 o'clock game. The Jaguars game next week was supposed to be a night game. We got flexed to 4:05. This Bengals game was supposed to be a 4 o'clock game. We got flexed to 1 p.m. because the Bengals are not as good as people thought they were. And Jaden Daniels, if he plays, versus Caleb Williams is a more enticing matchup. So we got flexed out of the 4 p.m. spot in favor of that game. But cool with the 1 p.m. games. We'll take them. We'll take them. As older individuals, you know, we don't want to be up all night watching football. So 1 p.m. games are cool. You know, get down at 1 p.m., record the pod, write up the takeaways, and be done for the day. And instead of at night, one eye open on the laptop, like, oh, my God, trying to get that shit done. So we'll take the 1 p.m. games. Jalen Hurts versus Joe Burrow for the first time in, in history sounds like it's a big deal, but like the first time they face each other is happening in this matchup. The Eagles sitting at 4-2, the Bengals sitting at 3-4 after a shaky start to the season. They are coming on a little bit. If you guys are new to the show, thank you guys for checking it out. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, anywhere else you get your shows. Leave those reviews. Rate 5 stars. They all help with the exposure of the Philly Pod. Steven, first, how's it going, man? Feeling all right? You look like you're waking up over there.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's a late night pod. Obviously.
This is the way now. That's how we got to do it, because of your
work. You know, we can't get our podcast flexed. They always got us on prime time when everything imaginable is going on right now. Yeah. We got Wemby versus Luka going on live this Thursday night football game, which is actually entertaining for a change on Prime. Yeah. I almost forgot that, by the way. Mm-hmm. How annoying is that when you come home after a long day and you're like, oh, got Thursday night football. You're flipping through YouTube TV. Where the fuck is it? Oh, Prime. Luckily, I do have it. But anyway, just glad to be here. You know, I thought about something, guys, when you were talking about the ties and everything like that. If you look back at both of those games, obviously different eras of Eagles football, they all happened in pretty defining seasons, I would say, actually. If we go back, obviously, the Doug Peterson one, that ended up turning out to be a lost disaster season where he lost his job or mutually agreed to step down as the coach, wherever you want to go with that.
Lost his job.
got his ass canned, I think, is the
and the other one.
Well, no, what happened was Larry was like, you need to present, similar to Sirianni last season, Larry
That's
was like, you need to bring me a plan on how to fix this. And Doug Peterson, well, first press Taylor, Larry said, you're fired. I'm not. We can stop right there. Go ahead, Steve.
Wow. Makes you appreciate, well, we'll see, but 4-2, I'll take it. But the other one was, if I remember correctly, the other one that ended in a tie, obviously, was the Reed McNabb era, but that season was the one where they finished, was it 9-6-1, and that tie, with a lot of other wild scenarios that played out, they ended up making the playoffs and went on a deep run, but ended up falling short in the NFC Championship game, unfortunately. But if I remember correctly, that was like the last season Reed truly had like a shot to take a team to the championship. Am I wrong? I feel like that was like his last final push, or am I missing something?
That was the last one in the Reed McNabb era. Yeah, because McNabb.
Oh, wait, no, he had one with Vic we felt pretty good about.
Yeah, that was McNabb's last chance, really, because the next year is when we lost the last regular season game against the Cowboys and then lost the very next week to the Cowboys on the wild card, and that was McNabb's. Was that the air guitar game, I think? One of those was the air guitar game. So that's the way that ended. If you guys had to guess, what was in the 2008 game, what was the Bengals record coming into that game?
Well, Carson Palmer was probably their quarterback, right?
It was Ryan Fitz, actually. Ryan Fitzpatrick was the QB of that team.
Oh my.
At that time. No. The Bengals were 1-8. We tied with the
1-8.
1-8 Bengals. Donovan McNabb threw the ball 58 times, bro.
We didn't lose. 58 times?
McNabb was 28-for-58 in that game, bro.
Are you kidding me?
Andy Reid was.
Imagine?
Arm fucking fell off after that shit. No
Can
wonder
you
why
at the end of Hurts threw 58 passes.
Oh, yeah, they would never. They would never.
He wouldn't be able to. I'm not going to go there. Too early.
How many picks would he throw
too early
on 58 pass attempts?
He had one touchdown
McNabb
and three interceptions.
Like four. How did McNabb throw?
He had one touchdown and three interceptions that game.
Man, I remember
he
that.
He had
game.
A 50.9 passer rating in that game.
Oh,
that's low.
If, 28 if for 58 passing. Andy Reid didn't give a fuck.
All
Andy Reid
quick said, enough to throw 58 passes. I'm just going to throw that hate shit out right now. Can I get it out? I'll get it out right now. Can I just get the hate out real quick?
Go ahead. You got the floor.
Jalen would hold on the ball too long to throw 58 passes.
Oh,
and you
my
know that's
God.
True. It would turn into like rushes. You can cut half of those into rushes, a few throwaways, of course, and a few sacks.
Brian Westbrook carried the ball only 14 times. Mind you, this was a 13-13 game, so it's not like they were getting blown out, and Reed was like, oh no, we can't run the ball anymore. They threw the ball 58 times and ran it 15. Karell Buchalter had one carry. So he ran the ball 15 times.
I mean, they went on a run shortly after that, though, right?
I mean, it worked out.
They just had to flush the shit out of their system, apparently.
Yeah, and once McNabb
Do you remember that bye week? Coming out of the bye week, they wore the all-black uniforms against the Cardinals at home and absolutely shit on them.
Mm-hmm. That's why going into the into that Cardinals game, we were like, we beat them. It was like Thanksgiving time. I remember saying we beat them at Thanksgiving.
And, yeah, that's what I mean. We kicked the bullshit out of them.
And then, but everyone was like, it's a different Cardinals team. I'm still in the firm belief that if we win that game, we beat the Steelers in the Super Bowl. Still in the firm belief.
Which loss hurt more? That NFC Championship game against the Cardinals or the Kawhi Leonard bounce?
All the Kawhi Leonard bounce. I think I think
this is a tougher one than you think. Everybody just assumes the Kawhi bounce.
I think that game ended. Cardinals game. Was that the Kevin Curtis too. Like non pass interference call?
Yes, but listen, we were down. If I remember correctly, it was like 24-3 or 0 at halftime, and we came storming back.
Mm-hmm. That Deshaun Bobble
might have taken the lead,
remember?
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, we took the lead. But that was the Larry Fitz went berserk. Larry Fitz
and
like
we would
touchdowns.
Have faced the Pittsburgh Steelers in the Super Bowl. We would have gotten PA versus PA. Mm-hmm. And by the way, we beat that fucking team in the regular season too. We took care of them.
I still think the worst loss. The worst loss ever in the NFC Championship game. You guys are probably too young to remember it, but the Rondae Barber pick that ended the Tampa one. That was the year they're supposed to go and win that. But that's either here. nor there. So yeah, let's try and avoid a tie this weekend. Moral of the story.
Let's give it a go. Real quick on that Cardinals game. I think I lean with that Cardinals game because I remember I was so traumatized. I remember who sang the national anthem in that game. Idol winner Jordan Sparks, who I hate.
No, Jordan Sparks.
Wow. I'm out. I'm out on her because of that. She's great talent. Don't get me wrong. But that, don't get me wrong. Beautiful
part of
voice.
My childhood.
That was like the first real pain because I was young. I mean, me and Conway are roughly the same age.
Oh, wait. Yeah, you were like 9 years old.
That was the first like real pain I felt as a Philly sports fan where I actually was like fully invested in comprehension. Because, the 05, 04 Super Bowl, I was still young. I didn't know any better.
I think the most pain to this day is the Super Bowl loss to the Patriots way back in 04. I was 11. I was born 93, so I was like 11-ish around there, 10, 11. And I remember after that game, I was like, the game was over, and I'm like making my bed, ready to go to bed and just cry myself to sleep. And my dad comes in. My dad's like an Eagles fan, but he's one of the like pessimistic fans, like they'll never win, like blah, blah, blah. So he came in, and he was like, well, son, there's always next year. And I was just like kind of angry, like not paying attention to him. And he was like, it's all right if you're upset. And I was like, I'm fine. He was like, nah, seriously, if you're upset. I was like, I said, I'm fine. Like, I yelled. And he was like, dude, he was like, who are you talking to? And I was like, it was the whole thing. But that was like the first like enraged anger. I was like, I was so angry and upset. That shit was nuts. But yeah, so not very fond memories of the Eagles and Bengals. The Eagles haven't beaten the Bengals since 2000, I think is the stat. I'll verify correct. But I think it's since 2000.
Christmas Eve.
Oh Lord, yeah. So,
So it's been a while.
Let's lead with this before we break it down analytically, and with matchups. Conway, how do you see this game playing out? Do you think obviously they have a chance? Do you think if it gets into a shootout, do the Eagles win against Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins in a shootout with the Bengals on the road?
In a shootout with the Bengals,
it's probably
on the road.
How it's gonna go. It's gonna go.
Having never won a game as a franchise in Cincinnati, I don't love that. I don't. But what gives me hope in this game is the secondary. Like, genuinely, obviously, probably the toughest matchup they've faced so far this year. So definitely got to kind of strap in and get ready to rock against those guys. But if Quinyon can just open up the gates to Guantanamo Bay and chuck Ja'Marr Chase in there for the foreseeable future. That obviously is going to be a massive windfall for the Eagles. But looking at how the Bengals have played so far this year, I mean, this isn't like some big bad Bengals team that's, we're going into their house and they're the hot hand and they're going to be no doubt that they have a lot of talent, especially on the offensive side of the ball, but they're not exactly a powerhouse. So if we can kind of get in there and can control the vibe and the pace of the game early and kind of dictate terms, which we are so bad at doing, especially to open up the game, if we can actually put some stuff together early on, shootout or not, I like our chances. Obviously we're going on the road, we're road dogs. I don't know, how everything's going to play out. This is really a game. Usually I have a good feel for what's going to happen. This is one where it's like it really just depends on what because I know what the Bengals are at this point. We still don't fully know about the Eagles. So if the Eagles can kind of put another piece of the puzzle in the mix there, then I like our chances. If they kind of lay a goose egg in the first quarter again and can't stop Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Burrow, T. Higgins, all those guys, then I don't like it at all. So it really is kind of hinging on those matchups there.
Yeah, Conway. In the last episode, we mentioned a few times how you can't have slow starts against good teams. If they come out in this first quarter and they don't put up points and the Bengals on their first two drives and it goes 14-0, it'll be eerily similar to that Tampa game. And this is going to have to be the week where the Eagles offense wakes up in the first quarter. I saw a stat, I think it was Instagram or I saw it somewhere, where the first two drives, only looking at the first two drives across the NFL, the Eagles have the 32nd ranked offense in the entire NFL across the first two drives. For the rest of the game after that, they have the second ranked offense. So something happens after those first two drives where they wake up, snap out of it, and they're like, oh yeah, we have A.J. Brown, Saquon Barkley, Jalen Hurts, Devontae Smith, and we can score points. Maybe we should try that, just not on the first two drives for whatever reason. Steven, your thought on surface level of the of this matchup heading in. You look worried. I've been reading your mannerisms throughout.
What the hell is going on?
I've seen this man rolling. He's like cringing over there.
Eyes are very shifty, Steven. You got something on your chest.
He's like biting his lip. He just looks scared. What's going on?
Yeah, maybe I should have sat down for this or drank more. But I mean, you guys laid it all out there. Let me just get the. If the Eagles are going to win this game, this is what has to happen. Something that hasn't happened all season. That's why I'm sitting here nervous, pacing around and stuff like that. You mentioned we're road underdogs. I'll tell you what. The Eagles, they need to be the big bad wolf in this game on the road, okay? You need to come in there against this Bengals defense that cannot stop the run, by the way. They are 22nd last time I checked. In rushing yards allowed, the Eagles are second in the NFL in running the ball. What does that tell you? Oh, I don't know. Maybe come out of the gates running the ball. But the other thing, too, is I saw some signs of, like, I don't know if, yeah, it's Kellen Moore. The collective unit together on offense, if you remember, coming out of that Browns game, I complained they're running the ball out of shotgun too much. Well, in the Browns game, they were running out of shotgun too much. In the Giants game, you saw some more stuff under center, a little bit more creativity. I was so moved by that. I actually wrote a blog about how they used one of their linebackers as a fullback on a play or two, and it springboarded Saquon big runs. I mean, he had multiple 35-plus yard rushes. But the other thing here is, as we know here in Philly, everybody's pounding the table to run the ball. Sometimes we do it too much. I think they obviously need to be creative about it, but I think when you're having these issues starting these games off fast, the run game needs to be a part of that. It's quick, easy offense. But not just that, the run game sets up the pass, and a lot of times it can set up the pass later in the game. I just don't want them to go big play hunting out of it. And the problem with that is they have the talent to do it, and it works. But the talk of the town this week was Jalen, like, coming off a win, by the way. We won the game convincingly for the first time in a while. All week, the conversation was, Jalen didn't throw to Devontae here. He's wide open on the mesh route. He didn't throw to Devontae here in the other situation. That was the conversation all this week. And Barkley was open, apparently, on a flat, too, that he missed. Gotta take those when they're there at the start of games. You can't play hero ball. And I'm a Jalen guy. I lean in the direction of, I don't think he's in a slump or he's in his head or whatever the case may be. I just think he's kind of going through a multitude of things here. And it's pretty easy fixes. It's not like he can't do it. I don't understand the people that say he can't read a defense or he can't do this. Like, that's my thing. So they're going to win this game. They have to set the tone bottom line, especially on the road, especially against, by the way, they're playing Joe Burrow. Mm-hmm. This isn't Daniel Jones. This isn't Deshaun Watson. This is Joe Burrow, guys. And yeah, they're 3-4, but that's the best wide receiver duo they're going to face maybe this entire season. The last time they faced one that's close to comparable, the Bucs embarrassed them. Like, absolutely embarrassed them. It was a no contest. So that's why I'm pacing around, guys. You want to sit here and make fun of me?
Not making fun. You just look a little nervous. That's all.
On Sunday, we have to set the tone, because I swear to God, if this offense doesn't, this Bengals team will go up 14-0. It'll be just like the Bucs game.
That's what I'm saying.
That's why I'm nervous.
Yeah, when you play a team like this, it's just when you play a team like this with, you know, the potential to have extremely explosive offense and put up some serious numbers, you can't go 3-out on the opening drive. Really, 3-outs are, I mean, never good, but especially against a team like this, it's hard to come back from if you give them too many possessions and too many chances, because they have the talent to make it. I don't care how good your coverage is, you know, a perfect throw to a perfectly ran route from Jamar Chase is going to beat perfect coverage at some point. You know, and you're not always going to get perfect cover. You're not always going to be in the perfect situation all the time. So just minimizing the amount of chances they have with the ball in their hand, keeping that ball away from Joe Burrow as long as possible, even if you end up you know, having to take the points and kicking a field goal, or even just sustaining a drive. And you know what? You end up with nothing, but at least your, you know, field position is key. Time of possession is key.
I'll
just
take an opening drive field goal. I will.
I'll take a
field.
I'll take 3 points.
I will celebrate.
I'll take a safety. I'll take a safety. I'll take any points I can get.
I will run shirtless through the streets of Fishtown if we get a opening.
What
drive
will you guys goal. Do if they're in field goal range and it's like a 4th and 3 opening drive and Sirianni sends them back out there?
You gotta go for it
or stay on the field.
Stay for, and they don't get it.
And you're looking at like a 48 yarder.
I mean, go for it.
Oh my God, man.
You can't play scared. You know what I mean?
That's like, not scared.
I mean, that they did.
Lead.
They were in those situations against New Orleans and they went for it all those times and didn't get it.
That was different. That was a completely different football team. That was a completely different.
Hey,
they were
red hot at the time. We sent the Saints on the downfall that they're on now. But at the time, they were a hot offense. They were, and we were like,
they were high flying, dude. They beat the brakes off the Cowboys, which is apparently very easy to do.
Yeah, which apparently is not like is not
it's
an outlier.
Not the biggest deal.
Not an outlier. But to your point, Steven, about the rushing game, that should be successful against the Bengals. The Bengals are ranked 21st in the NFL in rushing yards allowed. They allow 136.1 rushing yards per game. And even looking at some of the matchups in the past that have happened this season, Isaiah Pacheco, when he was healthy versus the Bengals in week 2, had 90 yards. Chuba Hubbard in week 4 had 104 yards and a touchdown. Derrick Henry in week 5 had 92 yards and a touchdown. Saquon coming into this matchup is averaging 109.7 yards per game. So I feel like a broken record when I say, hey, if there's ever a Saquon Barkley game, this is this week, but it should be another one where Saquon should be able to feast on this Bengals defense that is susceptible to the run. And the way Saquon has looked, I don't see any reason to go away from that. So I think you come out, you settle down the offense, and you try to get first downs with a Saquon. I think they try to get too cute, throw away the scripted plays, whatever the first 15 plays are, throw them out and say we're going to lean on Saquon at the beginning of this game. And if they stuff us, then so be it. Then we'll figure something out. But I think Saquon has to be the recipe, at least early in the game, to establish some
type of rhythm. Just get like creative about it, too. The other thing is, like, it seems like their offense can be so vanilla at times, and sometimes it feels like they start games off that way too. When you think it's like, wait, these are their first 15, like, shouldn't they be a little bit more creative? Like, I don't know. I mean, like what I just said, I mean, if you got to use motion, you got to just be creative. I mean, it's why we brought Kellen Moore here, right? Like, we didn't bring him here to run the Sirianni offense. Like, I want to see more of Kellen Moore's fingerprints on it, and we did see that last week, you know, for what it's worth. So maybe more of that this week. I mean, it's going to have to be, especially at the start of the game. Can't stress that enough.
Are they going to make it a point to get Devontae Smith the football after he had one catch for a -2 yards last week? This is why all these rumors about receivers and before the D-Hop trade happened and Cooper Kupp stuff and all this. And I was like, Devontae's not even getting the ball right now. Why would they go out and get another guy? The wide receiver rumors, in my opinion, are so senseless that I try not to give them the time of day, because if they're going to trade for anybody, it's going to be a pass rusher. But we'll talk about that as the trade deadline nears. I think that for the Eagles offense, I mean, if it was me, I would use these mesh concepts like every single play, because I didn't see Devontae on too many crossing routes, minus the one that Hurts didn't look at prior to the deep touchdown, that one that is getting blasted all over the internet that Hurts didn't see, and all normal quarterbacks make this play, and I understand the frustration behind that. But I would like to see the Eagles get Devontae Smith more involved, because he is to Steven's favorite word, he is the intermediate guy. He's the intermediate guy that can dice you up over the middle. So I think
it feels like when he gets the ball, though, not to like cut you off, it feels like when Smitty gets the ball, it feels like he ran some like supernatural, like high quality receiver route. When AJ gets it, it's just a go. I mean, I'm not hating. He's great, but it's like, man,
force.
Yeah, literally. I've been hyped just to see AJ running some slants for a change, by the way. Like, I didn't know we had that in our playbook, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's boggled my mind. I don't know how you have a guy as big and as fast, as strong as AJ Brown, and just go, yeah, just don't play physical. I mean, you don't have to play physical. Yeah.
Just run down the sideline where the least amount of space on the football field is.
Yeah, exactly. Or you just go terrorize guys in the middle of the field. There are some DBs out there that probably don't want to hit A.J. Brown.
What I mean. He catches that one ball, by the way. It's almost like a crossing route slash slant. And he catches it, stops, and like turns up the field. It's almost like they're just scared to tackle him there, like in the middle of the field.
His turn up the field when he has just that inch of space and he can just put his foot in the ground and go go up the field is such an underrated part.
I'd run
of his
that
game.
The first fucking play of the game.
Either that or inside zone left to Saquon Barkley.
Yeah,
one or the other. That's really all you need for this offense to be successful. It's like it's three plays. Run the ball with Saquon in whatever iteration you prefer. A little mesh concept to Smitty. And then, a little bit of a deeper slant to A.J. Brown. And then, you know what? Take the top off the defense. A little deep ball to A.J. Brown as well. Why the hell not? But you build up to that for sure. And when it comes to Jalen Hurts, too, and seeing those routes, I'm gonna give him a pass on that Saquon flat. He's literally
Devonta. Saquon was open on another flat.
Yeah. Saquon was open on, I guess it's more of a wheel route, but it was like in the end zone, basically wide open. But Jalen's looking the other way. You can't see him, so I'm not mad about that.
Good QBs can scan the entire end zone in one shot.
He doesn't have eyes in the back of his head. I mean, let's be real. But at the same time, would I have liked to see him make that completion to Devontae Smith?
You'd love it.
Number one, just for the sake of football IQ, yes. Also, just to get another guy going in the football game, absolutely. Especially for a guy like Smitty. Thank God that Devontae Smith is maybe the most egoless,
selfless
elite wide receiver I've ever seen. In the history of the sport.
You could easily go in a coaching office and be like, I need the ball, man. Like you got to get me the ball. I know there's AJ, I know there's Saquon, but you got to get me involved. But he just wants to win.
I'm going to go out there and just run around.
He knows his 125. His 125 yard game will happen. Maybe
it's coming. It's coming. He's going to have a game. And I mean, Saquon should see a ton of touches on Sunday, but I don't think you have to force feed the ball to Devontae Smith. I think it'd be good to get him going early. Don't get me wrong, but again, you got a lot of mouths to feed.
I actually disagree. I think he should, because it's so weird. It feels like, and I get it, like, my God, if I was quarterback of the Eagles and I had A.J. Brown, like, if you compare my vibe and my, like, release time throwing to him versus the other guys, it's going to be way better, obviously. But, like, I think Jalen needs to have that approach and mindset with Devontae too, because AJ's better by a hair, I would say. It feels like Smitty, we have this conversation all the time. I'm not here to compare teammates, but I'm sure if he was a wide receiver one on another team, he'd be top five in the league or whatever. But I think Jalen needs to make it a point to just like let it rip with Smitty. I mean, it's so obvious. Like the conversation around Jalen this week really irritated me, because I agree with both sides. I agree with the people that are pointing out that he's holding onto the ball and he's not hitting the receivers when they're open. But the other side of it is this happens all around the league. All right. I'm not saying, like it happens. Quarterbacks miss open players. They may not go to them. They may go somewhere else, whatever happens. But I'm sorry, man. You're Jalen Hurts. It's year, what is it, five now? He's getting paid all this money. We have Super Bowl expectations. It has to happen. It has to happen. Like, he only threw 14 passes in that game. But, like, for Devontae to have one reception for -2 yards, that's unacceptable. And honestly, it's not even Smitty's fault. It's the quarterback's fault.
No.
It's the script's fault. Open. It's not Jalen's fault either. This man threw four passes in
the
second
open.
Half.
He's open. He's Devontae Smith. We can't sit here and not that Jalen threw a tremendous ball the next play to AJ for the touchdown. But come on, man.
Bro, he threw four passes in the second half. Four total pass attempts in the second half.
Whatever,
His last pass attempt came with 8:38 left in the third
quarter. Devontae Smith is a Heisman winning wide
pass
receiver
in the game.
He had 100 yards
minutes
in
left
the Super
in the
Bowl.
Third. If it was a closer game, he would have
on a mesh route. He gets the fucking football. I don't care.
At the same time, he threw the ball 14 times, bro. He only threw it 14 times.
I know it's a new offense, but you have to know this. There's the other conversation with Jalen. They say he's a one-read quarterback. Guess what, Jalen? You have AJ, you have Devontae. One read, two reads, throw. One, two, throw. You have a Pro Bowler on both sides of the field. Throw the ball.
Sometimes on the same side of the field.
I'll be honest, and I hate to keep bringing up Baker Mayfield on an Eagles podcast.
No, you don't. But
if he can get...
No, right, it's a, no, do it. I actually agree with him. No, I didn't mind. Yeah. I go ahead. Go ahead. I know what he's going to say. Go ahead.
Watching that game on Thursday night, I mean, if Baker Mayfield can find a way to get Sterling Shepard the ball, you know what I mean, on a team with, granted, Mike Evans went out and Godwin ended up getting hurt, but much later in the game. Obviously, that's not the scenario we're in this past game against the Giants because, like you said, Vic, we threw the ball 14 times. So
only four times in the second half. The last attempt came with 8 minutes left in the third.
His last pass completions, five of which were to A.J. Brown. So I can't really fault him too much for that game in particular.
I can't.
But, you know, if he had a 30 pass, you know, if he had a 30 pass attempt sample size and Devontae Smith is getting that kind of love, then I'm starting to be concerned. I definitely agree with you, Steve, where if, you know, this is probably going to be a closer game than that, where there's going to be some back and forth, you absolutely have to get Devontae Smith involved. But I don't think that that's going to be a problem in this game. It definitely, in the last one, the optics of it, him having one catch for negative 2 yards, I thank God I was playing him in fantasy last week. But beyond that, like, looking forward, I'm not worried about Devontae Smith. I'm not worried about Jalen Hurts getting him the ball. Now, if we move through this game and we still see that as an issue, then, you know, and there's 30, 35 pass attempts for Jalen Hurts in a shootout, that's where I start to worry a little bit. But this really is a team where you've got a top two running back in football behind an incredible run blocking O-line. The pass blocking is a little bit suspect. We can be real about that, I think. Not horrible, obviously. Still a very, very solid pass blocking unit. But the run blocking, Cam Jurgens doing his best Jason Kelce impression. Like, there's a formula there where if that's working, I don't want to see that ball.
I would do
in
that
the
first play. Pull Jurgens the first play and send him out there. Like you said, dude, left. Or...
Exactly. Yeah. I think that is, you know, an aspect of this team that we haven't had. I mean, who's the best running back we had before Saquon Barkley in like Jay Ajayi? Like, I don't
know. Whoa. Miles was pretty good the Super Bowl year.
Yeah, he did. He was pretty solid. But again, like Jay Ajayi, in that when we traded for him, that was a big day for me. But besides that, like him, Miles Sanders and Saquon Barkley.
No
offense to Miles Sanders. Love the guy.
I think so. I mean, Swift is better than Sanders. So
yeah, but he didn't touch the ball. So he ran for 100 yards in week three and then it never happened again.
Fun fact about Saquon Barkley is for the 40-plus run, like if you look at the Eagles' 40-plus yard runs by the year, 2021, how many do you think they had?
2021.
40-plus yard runs, how many do you think they had that year?
One of them?
Miles. They had zero. Oh. No, they had zero. 0 40-yard runs that year. In 2022, they had two. In 2023, last season, they just had one. This year, already in six games, they've had four runs to go for 40 or more yards. That shows you the Saquon effect. Based on that, they had three combined in over the last three seasons, and they already have four through six games.
Since you guys brought this up, do you remember that 1 year Miles Sanders had like no rushing touchdowns?
Yeah,
he was like the Eagles' lead running back, and he had no rushing touchdowns.
I think that was 2021. I want to say
Saquon Barkley in his debut game has three.
Yeah,
you know, like that's just crazy. Yeah,
crazy. This is a different level. This is a different caliber of running back that we're dealing with. So no hate to any of those guys. They were good, don't get me wrong, but this is something completely different that we as Eagles fans haven't experienced.
Oh yeah. I mean, I'll apologize because even I didn't expect this, to be honest with you. It feels a lot like I don't want to put this energy out there. I don't want to jinx this team. It feels like the running back equivalent of when they got Terrell Owens.
Yeah.
It's very similar.
I mean, he's their offense though.
It's very similar to that, to the point where you bring him in and he has the ability to pretty much put the offense on his back if you let him. If you give him the opportunity to do so, he will physically carry you to the promised land.
What is it, Vic? I mean, it's got to be two games this year where it's 150-plus rush yards, right? Or more than that. What is it?
For Saquon?
Yeah, or is it three now?
Over 150 rushing yards?
Yeah, he has at least two, right?
Oh, just the one, just last week.
Oh, that's wrong. He... Hold on.
He had 147 against New Orleans. So he was right there.
You know what I mean.
And he had, he had 109, numbers. And then he had 109 against Green Bay.
Mm. Yeah, so get him involved. Good things happen. If, you know, if we can, especially against this Bengals front, dude, that's not a very good run defense. Not a very great defensive front. So the run's going to be there. Just take it. Just take it. I'm telling you, first play of the game, run to the left with Saquon Barkley. Let the rest fall into place. Get some nice quick passes and just get the offense going. And then, you know, good things are going to happen. Ideally, we get an opening drive score for the first time in what feels like 37 years at this point, because it's been ridiculous. But that's the key to success for the Eagles in this game, and really the rest of the season, is put your trust in Saquon. And then if you run into a situation where for whatever reason that's not happening, you have two other elite offensive talents you can lean on. It's insane. And, you know, different situations are going to call for different, you know, play calls and different guys getting involved. And Smitty's going to have that game. Like you said, Vic, there's going to be a Devontae Smith go off game at some point this season.
Probably against Washington, because it's always against Washington.
It's always against Washington.
He got to do it in this game.
All right, that's
he's
fine.
Got to.
And he doesn't have to. But if it happens,
he's
happens.
Playing his former draft day
draft
rival
mate.
In
draft
March.
Mate. I don't know about rival. But
we
draft
need
mate.
Cement. Why draft, he's better?
Draft mate is what I will call it. AJ Brown and Devontae Smith have the most touchdowns by any wide receiver duo in the NFL at 37, tied with Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. So,
So this is the classic Twitter engagement bait, Instagram engagement bait.
Yep.
Do you go Smitty and AJ, or do you go Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins?
For what?
If you had to have a wide receiver,
you list AJ, and Devontae first.
Yeah, I'm asking which one. It's an either or. I know your answer.
Wait, what are you asking me? Which one would I rather have?
Which one would you rather have for a wide receiver duo? Would you rather do
AJ and Smitty? Don't do that.
100%, right? 100%. I don't know how that's a fucking question. I really don't. I like T. Higgins is great.
I will
don't
say I would have sold my soul for Ja'Marr. Like, do you remember the draft leading up to the trade leading up to that draft? We moved up from 12 to 6.
Oh, yeah, no, I was like, yeah.
And I was like, oh my god, Ja'Marr Chase is an Eagle. And then we traded back to 10. And I was like, oh, hell no.
He was gone. We knew he was gone at Bengals at 5, right?
Yeah.
We thought they were going to take Sewell, and then they were like, no, dude. We're drafting Joe Burrow's college wide receiver.
I was like, for Ja'Marr Chase, and then they moved up to 6, and then they traded back to 12, and then they traded up to 10 for Devontae Smith on draft day. So
that
a lot of draft maneuver.
Hilarious.
But when they were sitting at 6, I was like, Ja'Marr Chase is an Eagle.
Oh, that's what I was thinking.
Oh, my God. And then they traded back to 12, and I was like, yeah, fuck me, dude.
Yeah, because the Bengals were like, yeah, we're not taking an offensive lineman. We're taking Ja'Marr Chase. And Howie was like, all right, fuck you guys. I'm not playing this game anymore. We're going back. And he was like, oh, let me cuck the Giants real quick on national television. The funniest shit. Trading with the division rival to cuck another division rival is some of the peak draft trolling.
Handshakes all around to Dallas to screw over the Giants, who ended up taking Kadarius Toney, who we're not fond of because Super Bowl nightmares. But is he on a roster right now? I don't even know. That stat I just gave you guys, by the way, the most that was since 2022, not like all time, since 2022.
Yeah,
Just to clarify, I don't want the listeners to be all like what's going on. But one more offensive matchup before we talk defensively. That boy along that defensive line for Cincinnati, Trey Hendrickson, is an issue. And Fred Johnson will likely see him at some juncture. Fred Johnson had an up-and-down performance against the Giants. He allowed 4 pressures, 2 hurries, and a sack last week. Wasn't a bad showing, wasn't a great showing either. But Trey Hendrickson is nothing to scoff at. One of the top defensive tackles. He's 3rd in the league in sacks. He is going to be an issue. He's the one guy along that defensive line I think they would have to circle and figure it out. It wouldn't be as much of an issue if Jordan Mailata is in there, but he is not this week, out for another at least 3 more weeks because he is now on IR. So that is a matchup that I have my eyes on as well. Any other notes on the offense, you two, before we switch over defensively?
I think this defense can be got. We can get them. I don't fear the Bengals defense.
I don't fear them at all. I feel very confident in terms of how we match up on the offensive side of the ball if we kind of continue to build off of off of last week, 100%, because we saw promise, obviously. Well,
what
against
is this, and what does this come back to every single time? It's up to us at the end of the day.
Yep.
I mean, it's 100%. Not like one of these things where it's like, oh, I don't know if Jalen can overcome this team's secondary or whatever. It's like, well, I don't know. Maybe just like score some points in the first quarter and don't turn the ball over, you know?
Yeah.
Good things will happen.
It just comes down to them. If they want to win, if they want to go score points, they'll go out and score points. I'm sure they want to score, but they got to I'm sure they want to, but they got to.
I don't know sometimes.
Sometimes it feels like they don't, but especially in the first quarter. But exactly right. It's not like we're going up against the Tom Brady, Randy Moss Patriots, where we're just like, how the hell are we going to win this game? It's very clear how we can. It's just a matter of whether or not they execute. So that wraps it up on the offense.
Yeah, Hendrickson is actually ranked fourth in sacks. That's what I was verifying while you guys were talking. Sorry. DeMarcus Lawrence has 9 sacks. Will McDonald of the Jets has 8. Aiden Hutchinson, whose season is over, sadly, 7.5. And Kyle Van Noy on the Ravens and Trey Hendrickson are tied with 7 sacks. So that is a guy to keep your eye on.
Speaking of sacks, I'm sure you're about to touch on it in a second, but somehow, some way, the Eagles are what now in sacks in the NFL?
I don't know what they're ranked. I know they got 13 in the last two games. again, they're playing Deshaun Watson and Daniel Jones, so we'll see if they can get to Burrow, but that'll be fun to watch. So we talked a little bit about the corners earlier. Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean against Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. DeJean will see his fair share of Higgins in the slot, I'm sure. If not Slay, then Quinyon will see Chase. I'm sure he'll get some reps on him. That'll be fun to watch as well. Ja'Marr Chase leads the NFL with 6 receiving touchdowns, also leads the NFL with 620 receiving yards. T. Higgins has 60-plus receiving yards in now 4 straight games. So Quinyon has had a very good season up to this point, very impressive. Not scared of any matchup. We saw him against Mike Evans. We saw him put Malik Nabers essentially in prison last week. So good things from that. And DeJean has been impressive since assuming a full-time role. Guys, confidence levels and being able to stop. We pretty much talked about it throughout this, but strictly just the cornerbacks and these matchups, Quinyon against Ja'Marr, and then you have DeJean against T. Higgins. Confidence level regarding those matchups, starting with you, Steve.
I said to you guys before this podcast episode, I could see this game being a lot like the opening or the kickoff game against the Packers, 30-plus point each from both sides. If you remember correctly, in that game, we felt good about our defense at times, right? You're like, oh, wow, they're holding up pretty well. But then the Packers still finish with pretty good numbers, score a lot of points. So I could see it being like that. This is a great test for the young guys in the secondary. It feels like the defensive line, if we want to touch on them, obviously has benefited from playing lousy teams, let's just call it what it is, and weaker offensive lines. But, I mean, Fangio has been doing stuff. I will give him credit. I give the guy a lot of hate. He's been doing a lot of stuff. What do I mean by that? He's been blitzing. He's been sending N'Kobe Dean, undersized linebacker, on the blitz. I guess that was the trick to unlocking him, huh?
I guess so.
I mean, Nolan Smith is recording sacks. Bryce Huff is recording numbers in the box score, so he's doing something right there. I don't know. I mean, he's changed his stance or something like that. I didn't play defensive end. I was one of the good-looking guys in high school. I was on the outside on both sides of the ball, so I don't understand. This is coach speak. I'm just talking what I see or whatever. But it's going to be a joint effort. The thing that is cool about this defense, it's young, a lot of young players on it. I like the direction because it felt like for the longest time when we built the defense out, it was always like defensive line needs to get pressure. They got to get pressure. They got to get pressure. Guess what? The secondary now is the strength of the defense. I think we would agree. They're able to hold up just long enough where it actually helps the defensive line get home or get some pressure on the QB. So against a team like this, against Joe Burrow, yeah, it's going to have to be a joint effort. You got to get pressure on them, and you got to hold up back there. Against those, by the way, guys, what makes the Bengals receivers so good, they are monsters. They're like the monsters.
Like
yeah, they're the monsters from Space Jam. Like Chase,
big fellas.
Higgins, big big guys, you know? Oh, so, man, tough matchup.
It's gonna be something. Joe Burrow currently ranks third in the league in passer rating, 110.1, has 14 touchdowns to just 2 interceptions. Yep. I know a portion of the fan base that would believe. Be excited if Hurts had those numbers. They would be thrilled if they saw.
Well, yeah.
Saw Hurts mean a portion. What do you mean a portion?
I mean, I mean guess. Because, you know, there's a part of the portion that's like, oh, he's a running back. Oh, we want to see him throw passing touchdowns. Steven became one of them this past summer. He wants to see passing touchdowns.
I do.
We don't want to see that. So.
I like mind his rushing.
Him, to be honest, I wouldn't mind some passing touchdowns. Don't get me wrong. But
he has, you know, Hurts has two passing touchdowns in just 2 games this year. But, hey, all touchdowns account for 6 points. So I don't really
you say
care.
2 plus in 2 games.
No, just 2 in 2 games. All the other ones he has 1 or 0. Mm. Against Cleveland and against Green Bay, he had 2 passing touchdowns. He had less than that in every other game.
Okay. That's fine.
So, I mean, I don't care. I'm just saying that if Jalen Hurts had 14 touchdowns and 2 picks, this fan base would be fucking.
Oh, I'd be parading. I'd be calling him MVP right now, just like I was last year. I mean,
he probably would. But I mean, look at it, like 4. We probably wouldn't be 4-2. I mean, we'd probably be.
Well,
I guess
we should have 1 more touchdown if Saquon didn't drop that ball, by the way, and another win.
We'd be 5-1.
Point being, when it comes to the defense of the Philadelphia Eagles, back to our regularly scheduled programming. This might be like, I think we might have the highest rate of like out of the amount of sacks that we have. Also, we're 11th in the league in sacks now. Which is some serious stat padding over the last 2 games, for being completely honest. Irregardless of that, looking at how they line up against this Bengals defense, like I said at the beginning, like you said, Steve, the secondary is the strong point of the defense at the moment, and we're going to have to not lean on them because the defensive line is going to have to do their job, but you might see some coverage sacks against Joe Burrow that you might not have seen in previous iterations of these Eagles defenses, just because, you know, as good as maybe some guys were playing, there were some soft spots. Not saying that this is a perfect lockdown Legion of Boom level secondary, but this is a good young defense, plays physical, which is really what this team has kind of lacked on the veteran side of the secondary. I'm not going to name names, Darius Slay, James Bradberry. I'm not going to name their names. I'm not going to say their names.
James Bradberry is on the way back.
Dude,
he's on the way back. He's on the way back.
All pro James Bradberry.
APJB is on the way back to the team.
APJB is in the mix. But, yeah, this is something that, you know, this is going to be, you know, the first real, not that the Packers weren't, but in terms of proven NFL wide receivers, elite NFL quarterback, this is going to be something, you know, this is going to be an eye-opening kind of test one way or the other for what this secondary is really made of. And I think that in terms of the Bengals O-line, in terms of the defensive front, I think that they if they continue to, you know, play as well as they have and kind of build off of these last 2 games where it was a lot easier to hit the quarterback because the quarterback was bad and the O-line wasn't great, you know, I don't think we're going to see 7-8 sacks out of the Philadelphia Eagles defense, but I think they have a chance to get home or at least make Joe Burrow uncomfortable. And honestly, I don't want to jinx anything here, but wouldn't it be fitting if Quinyon Mitchell's first NFL interception came against Joe Burrow?
Every
wouldn't
week on the every week on the pod, we're like, hey, Quinyon's first
it's coming.
He had one last week. He had another one last week, man.
Yeah, wait, we have 2 this whole year, 2 turnovers, by the way. Forced turnovers.
We need
correct.
More of those, I think, for sure.
Me?
We definitely need more.
Yeah, not ideal. This Fangio scheme doesn't take the ball away, though, and we noticed.
No.
No, but fuck that, man.
They don't.
What do
they
mean?
Don't take the ball away. Like There's the Desai scheme didn't do it. The Gannon.
I just don't buy it, man. Like,
well, Gannon did because CJ.
You can get picks. CJ, I mean, it's there. There's plays to be made, man. Come on.
There are plays to be made. We've had some near misses. We had CJ Gardner-Johnson get a pass breakup on Quinyon Mitchell. We've seen things, you know, we've seen this defense get close. I'm not saying that Joe Burrow's all of a sudden going to turn into Daniel Jones and just kind of offer the ball up on a silver platter for our DBs, but I'm just saying that would be quite the first career interception for Quinyon Mitchell. I'm going to say it every goddamn week until it happens because it's coming, dude.
Would that be it's better coming. Than Reed getting his first one on Aaron Rodgers?
I would say so only because of the player and reputation that Quinion has. Mm-hmm. Like, come on.
I hope we get
if he does get a pick, he's going to be guarding one of the better. Like, come on, he's going to be guarding one of these studs too. Let's be honest.
I hope we get Quinion mic'd up soon, because we get like the Saquon stuff. Obviously, is very good. Like that's like, I don't know if you guys have seen it, but the Saquon mic'd up is
oh, it's incredible.
Some
dude,
of the best content you'll ever see in your life. that
telling stuff. Them to run the tush push when everyone was mad, saying like, you take that touchdown away from Saquon. Saquon's like, run that shit.
Run that shit right
now. And
he was
cool.
I got mine.
Yeah, he was cool with what's his name, Benson, or resting him the rest of the game.
Yeah, they asked him, do you want the career high? He said no.
Go ahead. Just say it.
I would have been like, motherfucker, I'm getting it. I'm running for 200 on your ass. Go ahead.
Yeah, but why does he care, though? Saquon just got paid the bag. Like,
why does you care? Why does Sirianni care?
Why would Saquon care? Who gives a shit?
Yeah, he doesn't, clearly. I'm just petty. So that's what I would do.
He just wants to win, which is great. And I think, the kind of... I don't want to, I hate to say that because obviously Brandon Graham is still on the defense, but Quinion Mitchell will be a captain one day. He will be the leader of this defense. The way he fires
the
guys up. Week one told me all I needed to know.
Oh, like, he's taking Slay's seat when Slay leaves. He's taking his.
Oh, God, yeah.
He should take it right now.
Snatch it off his chest right now.
I think he should.
And Saquon's 100% getting one next year. So.
Oh, yeah. But this kind of new class of leadership, because this is kind of what we've kind of leaned on the old guard the last
years. Gen Z leader.
It's a good point. Yeah. I was concerned about that. That's a really good point. It's a nice blend because you got – Saquon's more of that humble style. And then Quinion's interesting because he gave off like silent, like quiet vibes. You want to know who he reminds me of a little bit? Not
ben
to
Simmons.
The extreme.
Ben Simmons
level.
When he was good.
No.
I know what you're going to say, but say it.
Not to the like extreme turn that notch up all the way.
Yeah, former Eagle. Say it.
Brian Dawkins.
Yes.
Yes.
100%. I was watching clips of him on Twitter.
I don't know if he has that
it's
killer.
I said
like,
you're not. Like, it's right. just it's not like he does level. Flip a switch, though, in games.
Like Brian
he's
Dawkins was feral,
guy.
Like foaming at the mouth. Like,
yeah, he's a different guy on the field than off the field. Yeah, 100%. And he has he's not going to be Brian Dawkins foaming at the mouth.
Exactly. That's why I said
speaking
that.
In tongues in the end zone before the
like
game.
Tribal. Calls
there's,
and all that.
There's no Weapon X alter ego with Quinion Mitchell, at least not yet. Anything can happen. You hit enough guys hard enough for long enough, you never know what's gonna happen. But genuinely, Steve, 100,000%.
That's why it's a home run pick too, because that's like we were lacking
keep
talent
you Gen Z
and
guys
youth on the defense, but we were lacking like come on, we needed as much as scheme is like identity on defense. The other part of identity on defense is like the attitude of your players. And that's what upset us last season.
Yeah, I think we have more. Obviously, CJ brings it. Quinion brings it. Saquon's bringing it on offense. He's talking a lot more than I thought he ever spoke, ever. So
I love it.
I think one of the big problems last year was there was not a good mix of I think it was a poor mix of like players that were too old and players who were young but not ready yet. I think that has evened out this season with players who are ready to start and step in that position and players who are older but can still play. Last year, like the Bradberries and the Kevin Byards, who's having a good year with Chicago now, but clearly didn't fit. And got guys like that who just couldn't play for whatever reason. And now I think we have a good mixture of older guys and younger guys that are meshing well. Speaking of younger guys who are coming on, this will be our final point. I hope we see some consistency out of the Georgia guys from what we saw against the Giants. Against the Giants, they had 17 tackles combined between Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith, Nakobe Dean. They had 17 tackles, 7 QB hits, 6 tackles for loss, and 5 sacks between the three of them. Now, again, against
the Giants. Wait, you're missing a fourth.
A fourth what?
You said Jalen Carter, Nakobe Dean, and who else?
And Nolan Smith. I'm talking strictly Georgia players, unless who do you want to talk?
Yeah. I guess the other
I'm not
one's
including
just
Huff or Sweat or none. I'm not.
I guess the other one's just a bust. I guess. Damn.
Yeah, I guess so.
Who? The there's tackle. Another
Jordan Davis.
Oh,
I'm concerned. I'm concerned. But hey,
we'll talk. But I hope to see.
I mean, he's still on his rookie contract, right? I mean,
I hope those
we'll burn
three.
That bridge when we get to it.
I hope
we'll
those three. we see some. I hope we see the consistency from them. Again, it's against Joe Burrow and a different beast of a quarterback. But I don't want the flashes that we saw from them against the Giants is something I hope we see more of moving forward, especially with Nolan and Nakobe. Nakobe was all around. I think he led the team. We mentioned it on the preview pod. He had 11 tackles, 4 QB hits, 2 sacks. He was all over the place.
I keep forgetting about Zach Bond, by the way. So, where does he?
Who is healthy? He was on
he's
the.
He's on the way back, baby.
But he was on the. Kobe he was never Dean. Gone. He was on the injury report one.
Nah,
day.
It's just like he's lighting the world.
He's healthy.
On fire.
I was a little worried. I was a little worried. I worry about my guys. Okay. I worry about them.
You worry about them.
Yeah, 100%. Who doesn't have me worried is Nakobe Dean, if he can keep this up. Dude, seeing him in the backfield, though, dude, I was just like, good heavens, oh my. Who is this?
Yo, no, seriously, though.
Yeah, it's nice to see the Georgia guys producing. I mean, you know, I obviously you want to see that sustained because they're fixing to be a big part of this defense. We didn't draft them to fill a hole until we find the next guy. You know, these are guys that we want to see in Midnight Green for a long time and produce at a high level because they were studs in college. And we're like, you know what? We're just going to – this novel concept where you draft the best players on an SEC national championship winning defense, you expect them to be good in the NFL.
Jalen Reagor installed that, by the way. Like that, once that pick happened and it turned out how he was like, forget these schools, bro. I'm doing SEC
what,
schools.
Literally.
Well, wait. Where did Quinion go again?
Toledo.
Toledo.
Not an SEC school.
Powerhouse.
But we all knew that.
Well, I mean, he was exactly. Like.
We knew what Quinion was, though.
See, the thing with Reagor, he was like the 5th-ranked receiver anyway, though. Like, he wasn't. Like, Quinion.
Quinion, we knew damn well. Like, remember you watched him at the Senior Bowl, and you knew, like, all this.
We argued before the draft, and I told you that was my guy, for the record.
I told
wanted
you
him
too.
Over both.
I didn't talk about him as much because I didn't think we ever in life would have a chance at getting him in the draft.
Exactly.
He had no reason falling to 22. He shouldn't have fallen past 15. He shouldn't have fell that far.
Mm-mm.
So I just never talked about him as much because a miracle would have to happen for him to even be within reach, and that miracle happened, and we are grateful for it always. So yeah, guys, we're gonna pray to the gods that Joe Burrow doesn't drop 50 on us. Let's not have that happen between Jamar Chase. Should be a fun one, though. Should be a good betting game for parlays. Should be a lot of offense. We'll be excited to see that. Let's do final predictions before we wrap this one up. Starting with Steven, what you got? Let me tell you what the spread is before we get ahead of ourselves here. Spread for Eagles versus Bengals. The Eagles are 2.5-point underdogs on the road.
It's 2.5?
Plus 2.5 to Eagles.
Okay.
Money line plus 122. I'm hammered.
Oh, dude, I'm taking the Eagles outright. 100%. I'm thinking like 34-30 birds. Like, I'm thinking it's going to be tight.
I like it.
I like a 34-30 score line there.
Gotcha. What you got, Steve? He's gonna say loss.
I'm gonna give you a weird score only because I think this is the way this team has to play in order to win the game. I got Eagles 31, Bengals 23.
I got 31-28 Eagles. That's what I got.
I like that.
Off the last second, Jake Elliott field goal because we haven't had one of those in a little bit, so it's about that time. It always takes a long Jake Elliott field goal to get the energy flowing on a deep run. So
you
I
know
think
you're
once
dead
happens,
right about that. Actually,
so once that happens, I think we're gonna be like, all right, guys, we're gonna be 5-2. 5-2 looks great on paper. Like, you see 5-2, and you're like, this team.
That's
might
what I mean.
Like,
well, this is huge because the Bengals can be. They'll be They need a win. So
they're 3-4. They need to win to get the 5-2.
They started the season off 0-3. They've been digging themselves out of this hole for quite some time.
On that hole. Again, their only wins have come against the Giants, the Browns, and what is the third team? I know Giants and Browns they just beat, and they beat the Panthers.
Oh, that's weird.
So yeah, impressive wins.
Wait, these schedule makers.
Some of the best teams in football.
These schedule makers are weird.
Their losses were to the Patriots. They lost to the Patriots, the Chiefs, the Commanders, and the Ravens last week.
I feel like 23 is too little for the Bengals. I really just say the Bengals are going to score 23
points. The Jacoby Brissett-led Patriots, they lost to week one.
Do you guys think I'm weird for that?
I think you're a little weird for that, but I like it. I like.
I feel like they may, like,
two touchdowns.
Burrow's going to have, like, good yardage and stuff, but I could see us, like, just stopping them.
Locking down in the red zone.
Settle for field goals. That's what's going to happen. And we're going to control the clock. I hope. I fucking hope.
Yeah, we need that. Clock. We need that time of possession. Bro.
And that Quinion pick is going to be a backbreaker, dude.
That's what I mean. Like, if you force one turnover when they're on the verge of scoring, I mean, that just wipes an
this
entire.
This is how it's going to go. We're going to take the lead 31-28 with like 50 seconds left.
Oh, dear.
Burrow's going to have to push the ball downfield, and Quinion gets an interception to seal it.
I can't do another close game.
No, it's going to be a tip ball to Reed Blankenship. Danny,
it's going to be a tip ball to CJ, and the CJ's going to like flex
Whoa,
on
you're
everybody.
Forgetting about Cooper, man. Cooper needs to get some. He hasn't got. Well, we have two. Who got the turnovers this year? By the way,
how about this Cooper punt return. Well, Reed has two interceptions, I think.
Mm-hmm. He is a ball hawk.
Yeah,
he's the milk.
Y'all man. Hate on this man.
Cooper DeJean punt
there
return.
Was talk, there was talk in this city in the offseason that he shouldn't be a starter.
Yeah, they were like, he's not a starting safety, blah, blah, blah. I
you
never
know what
understood
that is?
That.
That's racism. Flat out racist.
I will
That's
say
racism that you would say, Vic. That's something
I would
expect.
Not say that. I would not
I will
something
say, though, he makes a perfect, like, second safety. Like, you want a guy with more talent alongside him, I would say.
CJ, there you go. Yeah. Sydney Brown coming back. Sydney Brown, we're going to get some. Oh, by the way, wait, I don't know why it took so long to talk about this.
No,
Sydney Brown
go.
And Chase Brown, twin brothers facing off. That'll be fun. You know they're just the sixth set of twin brothers taken in the NFL draft, in the same draft ever? There's only been
really?
Six sets of twins taken. Yep. Interesting stat.
That is actually a very – I assumed it would be at least a little higher.
Wow,
I'm waiting for Sydney Brown to lay the boom on his brother.
Did you guys hear – Vic Fangio talking, like, they asked him, like, hey, are you concerned about Cooper DeJean taking punt returns while he has so much defensive duties? Vic was like, yeah, I'd prefer he doesn't. And then Michael Clay came on afterwards, and they're like, did you hear Vic? And he was like, yeah, I mean, he's still going to be our punt returner, so fuck it.
Yeah.
All right. Michael Clay the fuck out of here, man.
We're going to get Anaya Smith. And when Anaya Smith comes back, maybe he'll assume that role.
What happened to Covey?
Covey's still hurt. Still hurt. He separated his shoulder.
Oh, that's right.
In the Saints game, we had no receivers.
He had seven receptions for like 20 yards, right?
Yeah, we had no receivers, and Covey caught a fucking – he caught like a crossing route and ran out of bounds and got fucking popped.
I forgot.
And that shoulder got wrecked, so that was the end of that.
Man, all this time, all these big hits he's taken, that one got him.
He gets one – this is why he doesn't play offense, because these fucking 300-pound people knock him out.
Hey, man, I tried with the agenda, but I think now it's probably one too many white guys, so somebody had to suffer.
One too many white guys. Hey, if we get a certain defensive end from Vegas – that'll complete the Caucasian trifecta with Crosby, Reed, and DeJean. That'll be all we need.
I think they could use a white guy on the defensive line.
A psycho white guy.
All of our Super Bowl runs have been with white guys on the defensive line. Chris Long.
And who else?
That's all I got. That was the only one I really got.
You need a psycho white. But you need you one. Just need yeah. a guy where the other guys on the defensive line look at
him. Chris Long is like a full-blown Philadelphia fan. Like, and he's only been – he was here for, what, 2 years? He's like up and down the TL.
That's cool. Yeah, it does. Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool for a guy who assumed all that stuff. All right, y'all. Appreciate you guys for tuning into this episode of the Philly Pod brought to you by the Liberty
Cooper
Line.
Cup,
com.
I mean.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. He's, go not, ahead, he's, go not, ahead. He's not coming. He's not even getting targeted now that Puka's back. It's crazy to see, actually. It's crazy to see.
Not like
sure
Jalen throwing the ball. He runs nothing but mesh routes anyway. Fucking slot receiver. Throw the ball.
Be
I love
sure
you, Jalen.
Subscribe. Apple, just iTunes, saying. Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, anywhere else you get your shows. Be sure to follow myself at the Philly Pod on all social media platforms. Do the same for Mr. Ryan Conway at RyanConway76. Follow Steven on all social platforms at Steven Conrad Jr. We'll be back Sunday night to discuss hopefully another victory as the Eagles look to improve to 5-2. But until then, y'all, we'll catch you on the next one. Peace out from the Philly Pod.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.